to Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the Ground Zero Lounge. Let's hear it again. Loud, please. Oh my gosh, it was kind of a false start, but we're here and we're happy. Hey, I got to tell you guys something. Something really amazing is happening. I want to tell you all about it right now as we start the show. Something really good, great news, great stuff going on. Just last week, we had been in discussions and working with a group that is called ZeroPointRadio.com. Zero Point Radio actually was a group that streamed the Ground Zero shows when we were on from 1999 to 2003, then from 2003 on, they were actually streaming the shows. A guy by the name of R.F. Burns was streaming the shows, and what had happened is that he had all these archived shows. He didn't know what to do with them. So he said, well, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to play them on the Internet. And hopefully somebody will listen, somebody will give a damn. Well, you know, I was listening, and I heard some of the same shows over and over, but then I started hearing more shows that he was adding and adding and adding. I'm thinking, God, you know, it's just all Ground Zero all the time. I was thinking, it would be nice if something else would go on. And then all of a sudden, I get this email from him, and he said, hey, we've got someone else on with us. It's Veritas. It's a show called Veritas. And it's a really, really good show with Mel Fabregas. He's a really good guy. I listened to Mel, and I thought Mel was amazing. I'm listening to Mel, and I'm listening to Ground Zero. Well, then after I listened to Mel, and I listened to Ground Zero, I all of a sudden started hearing a show called Project Camelot. Project Camelot on this network was interviewing a guy from the Illuminati. With Angels and Demons in the movies, you hear this guy with exclusive Illuminati stuff, and it's really amazing. He lives in Italy. And then we're hearing Mel talk to Nick Pope from the Department of Defense in England about UFOs. And then John Lear is on the show talking about how he doesn't believe the moon landing happened. And I'm like, well, this is amazing stuff. And then what happens is they program Ground Zero shows around those shows. And then when I woke up in the morning to listen to the network again, it was Mantel from Chicago. So what we have, people, on ZeroPointRadio.com is a radio station that is now playing Ground Zero shows. So let's give it up for ZeroPointRadio.com. Now, here's another good thing, is that Max, who's been working with R.F. Burns, he's worked with the show for a long time, Max stepped in and he said, hey, Clyde, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at how we can get the website to have links to it so people can go to the groundzeromedia.org site, they can click on this the tab, and what do they get? They get the radio station. They get the chat room right on the front page. So if you go to the groundzeromedia.org site, you go right to the front, right to the front of the line on our chat page while you're listening to the network. And what's interesting, I was just talking with Sarah, and you know, Sarah's been archiving the Ground Zero shows for a long time now. Give her a hand. She's a special producer for the show. And she said that she was listening to the network, and one of the old shows came on, and she says, I've heard it before, but it just sounded so compelling coming out in stereo, like on a radio. And so she said that she kept listening to it, and she didn't stop listening to it. So, if you're working on your computer, if you're, like, needing something to turn on and you don't want to turn on Coast to Coast AM because it's making you tired, yeah, a few people are laughing at that, go to ZeroPointRadio.com. Another show that's been brought on is MediaMonarchy.com. Give them a hand because James Evan Pilato has been a big supporter of Ground Zero, and he just erected a Ground Zero public archive. Also, Cascadia Public Radio. Thank you, Glenn. Give him a hand for bringing the shows on. He also has been responsible for putting content everywhere. So Ground Zero itself, the show, and the lounges are going up, and old shows are going up, and it's really funny. One of the old shows they ran just the other day, which really had me kind of creeped out. The topic of the show was done in 2003. The topic was of the show was North Korea setting off missiles, whether or not it's the end of the world, and whether or not gays deserve to marry. What have been the headlines in the last week? We talk about Proposition 8 in California, the nuclear bombs for North Korea, and same old stories, but it sounded as if we did the show just yesterday. So it just goes to show you that Ground Zero, reporting from the past, is still reporting about your present. And that's what makes the show so appealing, is Ground Zero Total Recall is the name of the show. If you play it back, you still hear that these things that we talked about and predicted are happening now from many years ago. So once again, ZeroPointRadio.com, give them a hand again and thank them loudly. Thank you. And we are starting our own radio network, and we need your support by going to the site and spreading the word and spreading it everywhere you go, from emails. If you know anybody in radio or programming, or if you just want to somehow go to a radio website and say, hey, you should take a listen to this. This is pretty good. Because what will happen is somebody will see it, and they will go, hey, you know, I think this might work on my station, and then we're back on terrestrial radio again. I mean, it's a start. And when you listen to it, you will see just how good it is. So ZeroPointRadio.com, thank you so much, RF Burns and Max, for what you're doing out there. We're very happy about it. Tonight is a great show for you. Of course, last week we were not here. That was something that I had no control over. They had booked someone else. But this show tonight is called In Memory of the American Cold Case. And what we're going to talk about is we're going to be talking about something that may be uncomfortable for many people, but you know what? A lot of people who I've been talking about who voted in the last election are becoming more philosophical about their vote and wondering what the hell they need to do to change things themselves. It's really happening. People are beginning to understand that something definitely is not right in America, and I think the tide is turning and we need to talk about it. You know, people have always told me, they say, Clyde, you know, you say you talk about the paranormal, but lately you've been talking a lot about politics. Well, when politics become paranormal, we have to focus on that a little bit. And you'll see what I mean when I'm talking more about this situation. You see, Ron Howard came out with this movie called Frost Nixon. It is a play, and it's a very, very compelling movie. If you haven't rented it, you should, because there are great performances in this film. Frost Nixon, when it was released in theaters, there was debate that gave modern-day relevance to the film, and that is, what they were trying to talk about is that during the Nixon administration, they say that there was some proposed criminal activity going on with Nixon. Now, we all know about Watergate. We all know about all those other things. But see, what that does is it brings up the idea that criminal activity continues in Washington. And it's been continuing on for a long time. That leaders that are accused of committing illegal acts in office have always stated that their hearts were in the right place. And the same thing is happening now with the Bush administration and Cheney and all those guys. Their hearts were in the right place and were just trying to save America. The infamous interview with David Frost with President Richard Nixon claimed that the president is above prosecution if he commits a crime, that a president can commit crimes because he is the president. Nixon supported the idea that presidents may have to take extraordinary, even illegal actions to hold the nation together and to preserve its security. Now, of course, that's bullshit. A president is not above the law, and he never was. But see, Nixon felt he was, and he was being very candid about it. He said, well, my heart was in the right place. What would you do, David Frost, if you were president of the United States? Approximately 2,700,000 American men and women served in Vietnam. It was the first war in which the U.S. failed to meet its objectives. It was also the first time America failed to welcome its veterans back as heroes. Now, many veterans were attacked personally by their fellow countrymen who opposed the war. The situation was magnified at the stress associated with their combat experiences. Many men were killed after exposure to pesticides and Agent Orange. I don't know if many of you know this, but there was a story last week where it was basically stating that soldiers were exposed to other things besides Agent Orange, and that there was also a lawsuit of people from Vietnam and soldiers who said that they were affected by Agent Orange, and of course, the government said that there was no effect on them. However, they've been ignored, and last Memorial Day, their case was thrown out. So this is how we honor the veterans, the ones who fought, honor them by throwing out their cases when they're sick and when they're dying. And we talked more about that earlier. We were talking about the Iatra genocide situation where they poisoned soldiers in the Gulf War. If you see, that's the headline, U.S. Court upholds dismissal of Agent Orange suit. They continue to dismiss it, and soldiers are sick, and they're not being taken care of. Well, in Nixon, history has illustrated abuse of power and how those who abuse it justify their various actions. History has unnecessarily repeated itself as the bombing of Cambodia by Nixon was just as power-hungry and based upon a lie as the invasion of Iraq. The very same abuse of power we have witnessed in the Bush administration was the violation of our power structure and government system, of which the Nixon administration was guilty of as well. Dare we say that Iraq and Afghanistan are like Vietnam and that the soldiers and civilians have been remembered as collateral damage? Dare we say that? Is it bad to say now? Of course it isn't. This is something that's happening. It's a crime. And we continue to turn our heads the other way. Wars are criminal cold cases that still seek justice. In the last Ground Zero Lounge a couple weeks ago, we attempted to tell you about the Constitution and how it's been corporatized, and how the government, Congress, and a group, and many people are trying to use the Constitution to their own ends. That laws are something that government hopes you will never learn, that they hope that they can act on your emotional fears so that criminal activity that is carried out by their colleagues can be ignored or justified based on emotional responses. Excuse me. This tactic keeps creating an American cold case. American cold case that can be reopened after the years of watering down facts and passionate arguments that can manipulate the American people into believing that a satisfactory investigation has been conducted and that the real criminals have been brought to justice. What I'm showing you here is I'm showing you the Kennedy assassination, Watergate, the homosexual prostitution ring in the Reagan-Bush administration, and the 9/11 report, which many people believe was a farce. I use the term cold case because there is a TV show called Cold Case, and what that means is they go back to look at old cases that have been unsolved. What I refer to cold case is the American cold case. What I'm talking about are cases that were not resolved correctly or were told that were resolved satisfactorily. In reality, people are wondering why the real criminals weren't brought to justice. The proper definition of a cold case is a cold case is any criminal investigation by law enforcement agencies that has not been solved for at least 1 year and, as a result, has been closed for further regular investigations. Perhaps when we look at a government criminal behavior, we can say that most cases are lukewarm. We can say that most cases are lukewarm because some people believe that they're solved, other people believe that they're not solved. I would say that if there is a question as to whether or not justice was carried out, they were not solved or investigated properly. Mainly because there are cover-ups exposed, and there are plenty of politicians who want to sweep any evidence of wrongdoing under the carpet. I give you Barack Obama was sweeping under a lot of the information about Abu Ghraib, which now is coming out. Since there's been a lot of information about Abu Ghraib and rape going on. Government leaders who commit criminal activity. What? Go ahead. What are you going to say? Okay, you're fine. Go sit down. Okay? Thank you. Go sit down. Doorman or somebody, please. Thank you. Government leaders who commit criminal activity have gone to great lengths to keep themselves from facing any kind of trial or conviction. They first appealed to the nation, claiming that they acted in the best interest of the people, just like Nixon did. And political pundits often cry out that there is with a right-wing and a left-wing conspiracy going on. People in either party, unfortunately, nod their heads and say, yeah, he's being persecuted against. Yeah, but no. Criminal activity is not partisan, okay? If a person commits a crime, we never point out his political affiliation. Why do we do it with politicians? Okay? If they commit a crime, they're no longer Republican. They're no longer Democrat. They are suspects. And they should be investigated and tried. Okay? And so when we sit here and we say, well, this is just a right-wing attempt to go after or a left-wing attempt, fuck off, okay? It's criminal activity. We have allowed too much criminal activity to go on in this country because of our partisan bullshit. I give you the election of 2000. Okay? I voted for Bush. My candidate didn't win. Now, that doesn't make me a Republican. It makes me voting for Bush. But my candidate did not win the election. Fairly. Okay? And so, this is where you need to say to yourself, who is telling the truth and who is committing the crimes? Government officials get away with criminal activity because we have established a system that intrinsically knits corruption into the government construct, where law itself grants immunity in a way that makes successful prosecution an exception. Look at this. Look at this picture. Rumsfeld shaking hands with a criminal. This is evidence right here. It's evidence right here that something needs to be done. Saddam Hussein hangs in the gallows and this guy goes free. Successful prosecution and investigation of criminal activities in government also costs money. If you were to take a look at history's most nefarious cases, you would see that while some cases have deep pockets for investigation, other cases where wrongdoing can be traced to public leaders seem to be in a limited budget. Let me give you some examples of this. For example, the overall cost of investigating the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster was totaled at $100 million, and the Columbia disaster investigation came in at a whopping $175 million. When it comes to alleged criminal activity or wrongdoing with political figures or alphabet agency investigation budgets, they're much lower. Take a look. Watergate, adjusted for inflation, was only $20 million for the investigation. Clinton Lewinsky, $30 million for the investigation. Iran-Contra, $35 million into the investigation. September 11th, $3 million. I think that deserves a big fucking hiss. $3 million to investigate the September 11th attacks. And how, yeah, well, get on the microphone and ask that question, please, because we need to hear it. We're on the internet now. Go ahead and get on the mic, please. Get on the mic. If you want to talk about it. What were you saying about the money? I mean, if you want something to say, I can't hear you unless you're up on the microphone, so go ahead.
How's that compared to the money that we can't account for in Iraq?
I agree with you. $3 million for this that took us into those wars.
How many pallets of $100 bills do we not know what happened to those babies?
Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, not only set on.
Yeah.
Not only did it only cost $3 million, but they waited an entire year before they even allowed it to be initiated. Whereas with the Columbia and the space shuttle disasters, immediately they started the investigation.
And they let this go a year. And another thing that they did is that the $3 million. Go ahead. You go first, and I'll tell you about $3 million.
I was just gonna say it wasn't just fiat paper currency that was taken; a bunch of bullion of the Bank of Nova Scotia at least disappeared.
Right, exactly. $3 million was the initial investment into 9/11. What happened was that public law provided $3 million for the investigation. We had to beg for an additional $11 million, and then we had to do, on top of that, gave us the $15 million for the investigation. So what I'm getting at is that at first we were only thrown $3 million, and then we had to beg for more to find out more, and what we got was fucking nothing. We got a horrible investigation into the 9/11 attacks, and everybody knows it. $15 million wasn't enough to even start getting to the bottom of what happened. $15 million didn't pay for much other than some press releases, cost of printing reports. It certainly wasn't enough to pay for real investigations or legal struggles to discover information which the government was stonewalling. The lack of funding and the lack of cooperation with the government compromised the investigation. 9/11 Commissioner Max Cleland resigned from the commission, stating, "It is a national scandal." this investigation is now compromised, and one of these days we will have to get the full story because the 9/11 issue is so important to America, but this White House wants to cover it up. They wanted to cover it up so we could go to war, and those two wars are now bringing us down and ruining our economy, and yet we're still there. What happened to change? It's not coming. We need to remember that the attacks of September 11, 2001 were carried out by a criminal element within the government of the United States that negotiated with foreign governments and banks to provide funding for this attack. It is premature to cast all the blame on George W. Bush for the attacks when it is painfully obvious that we can implicate key Democrats as well as Republicans in the co-conspiracy list. Both before and after the fact of the crime, they were involved as well. It equally can be said that the co-conspirators were also responsible for the wars that ensued and the lies of the weapons of mass destruction, Iraq's connection to Al-Qaeda, and the unauthorization, and the authorization, sorry, of torture. And here we are now, turning our backs on it. The idea that only one party is responsible for the unconstitutional policies of the past 8 years is naive. The idea that only one government was involved with 9/11 is equally premature. The notion that one party is above having blood on its hands is what keeps our country from finding real killers and real torturers. We are now realizing that all of our so-called leaders knew about and approved of the use of torture, and there's nothing surprising about that. What's surprising is, though, is that some progressive critics of the Bush regime's war crimes are furious that we're talking about Nancy Pelosi being called on the carpet. Apparently, their desire for justice and the rule of law doesn't apply to Democratic politicians. That is why, in order to investigate the war crimes of 9/11, there needs to be a stripping of party affiliation and recognize treason as a war crime and that it's a nonpartisan offense. That it is a nonpartisan offense. It's a nonpartisan offense. Those who agree that investigation of these war crimes would be divisive do not take into consideration that there is more to the investigation than just naming names and analyzing whether or not the country will be less safe because of it. There needs to be an investigation into the clique that benefited from the 9/11 attacks, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and the opening of prisons where the tortures took place. It is divisive to allow a group of people to question their government's motive in allowing a cover-up. It is also divisive to do nothing when it is known that there is a growing group who know we cannot proceed as a nation until this episode is dealt with honorably, including the arrest and trial of the perpetrators of these war crimes. Yes. You can be loud about it. We're on the internet now, so get loud. Go ahead.
Just about the word divisive, how much fucking more divided can we possibly get anyway?
Well, I'll tell you how. You take a look right now. There are, right now, Democrats that are within the Democratic Party who are now saying that they feel that Obama's betrayed them.
Surprise.
So not only have we divided the Republicans from the Democrats, we're dividing Democrats amongst Democrats.
Yes.
And liberals amongst liberals.
So, yeah, we're already pretty much as divided as we can get. We have been for years.
That's right, and they're trying to abolish the union, as we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Which union is that?
The United States of America Union.
Okay, they who?
New Hampshire.
Oh, you mean the individual states that want
to sovereign states, yeah, they've been putting in their thing, let's abolish the union.
Yeah, no, they're not trying to dissolve the union, they're trying to get the hell out of it, and then they don't care what happens to it.
Pretty much. And this is why, because they are dividing us. They're becoming divisive, and they're dividing us even more. And I warned everybody before the election this was going to happen. Another divisive element that is being overlooked is the nature of continuing with policies that are prolonging the sins of the past 8 years and calling them necessary evils. It took 8 years for the country to decide that George W. Bush was evil to the core. The country experienced several breaking points where they demanded impeachment. With Obama, we are continuing the same wars, the same Orwellian policies, the same Washington corruption, and yet we call it an inherited mess. This is an excuse. There are many corrupt officials within this inherited mess that are Democrats. This two-faced form of government is innocuous. On one hand, there seems to be an interest in correcting what is wrong, and on the other, there's this feigning of ignorance, which, of course, will do them well, because in a court of law, and I found out something in a court of law, that if any of these guys, if they're tried for war crimes, can prove that they didn't know it was against the law, or if they can claim it, they can get off. I give you Ronald Reagan.
Well, I wasn't in the loop.
Oh, he has Alzheimer's. Ooh, that kept him from being a part of the Iran-Contra scandal, didn't it?
He knew nothing.
Go ahead.
I think you can liken American culture to basically pirate culture.
It is pirate culture.
And America has the choice between the good pirate or the bad pirate. But unfortunately, the Democrats have decided bad pirate is more fun and maybe more lucrative. So now we don't really get too much of a choice anymore. But the thing about pirate culture is it's your ship, you make your own rules.
Right.
And that's what we got. You got people just throwing crap up saying, I am in charge, these are my rules, you're to get off my ship.
It's called despotism. It's what it is. I make the rules, I have the money, I make the rules. And Americans like going, why is everything falling apart? It's because we're allowing this shit to happen. We don't say anything. Well, we're not going to fight the system. Well, you can fight the system. Go ahead.
There is actually a program on pirate culture that went out on KBOO about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It is on Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay.
It was Teresa Mitchell's program, Press Watch.
Okay, you can go there. It's off the Ground Zero site at groundzeromedia.org. You can go there and get the Cascadia show if you'd like. CIA loophole ignorance is what we're going to be seeing from these people. It gives leaders carte blanche with the use of plausible deniability while abuses of civil liberties continue and empty symbolism is used to continue to stoke the fires if you're in the United States. What I'm talking about is they're saying, well, you prosecute these guys and, well, there's going to be more terror. Fuck you, Dick Cheney. There's not going to be anything except your ass going to jail. That is if I have my way. That is, if I keep telling people that we should put Dick Cheney's fucking ass in jail, that we should put Bush's ass in jail, and we get Barack Obama to say, yeah, yes, we can. Well, Obama, we shouldn't put him in, and I'll tell you what. Well, yes. He was saying yes. Not because he's cute. I love you, Stephanie. These tactics are important currency for them because they can just come after you and say, look what you're doing to us. This is anti-patriotic. It's anti-patriotic to throw these guys in jail. We're not Nazi Germany. The fuck we aren't. We were Nazi Germany for 8 years. And now we're going to become Stalinist, what? United States of America? Come on. Give me a break. You know, Obama is using, and it's sad to say this, Obama is using Orwellian doublespeak and psychological warfare. And he's doing it along with Cheney. This whole thing about this dual debate thing, that was all PSYOP. It was all PSYOP. It was giving the Republicans something to go, yeah, it was like a football game. It was like reality TV. You put, in this corner is Cheney to the death and it's Obama to the death. And you know, both of them ended up looking stupid. I don't know who came up with that idea. But I mean, you know, when they come up with this thing that's an inherited mess, it's like, it just stinks. And it needs to stop. Go ahead, quick.
Webster Tarpley calls that left culture, the teabaggers and whatever, are from the right. Oh, you see, he's a great liberal because all these people on the right are attacking him.
Well, as I said, you know, he's done in just a few days what George Bush couldn't do, and that's make himself look good. That's what Obama has done. He's made George Bush look good by keeping this up. Obama has pledged to close Guantanamo, and this is only symbolic because there is no interest to pursue prosecution of the abuses that have gone on there. Nor is there any talk of prosecution for the abuses of Abu Ghraib. Horror stories are surfacing that make the argument of prosecution more compelling. There have now been statements spun Orwellian style by Condoleezza Rice about conveying the authorization of waterboarding instead of authorizing it directly. So if she conveyed authorization, who did she convey it from and to whom did she convey it to? Ike was conveyed authority to carry this out. It was enhanced interrogation. It wasn't torture, and I didn't really say to do it. Someone conveyed that I should do it. Passing the buck. Condoleezza Rice is just as much a vampire as the rest of them. Go ahead.
You know, the thought about the torture just came to me is that really it's almost a sideshow to how many people did we blow up in Iraq and Afghanistan? And so we're talking about, you know, it's almost like, I know the whole point of torture and all that's horrible, but mass murder?
Yeah, well,
I mean, come on.
That comes next. Remember, you know, Al Capone didn't go in for his bootleg. He went in for tax evasion. Go ahead.
There would probably be a lot to learn by waterboarding Condi Rice.
Yeah, we ought to waterboard her, too. Well, she was a little snot with some guy from college saying, well, the Supreme Court ordered this because the kid didn't know. Well, yeah, okay. So take the Supreme Court out, too. Yeah, we need an overhaul. And that doesn't make us sound bad. That makes us sound like we, the people, are going to take over our government and overhaul all the criminals. And I can't believe it's not torture, right? Everybody's like, oh, you're criminals, criminals. Now, not everybody that's there was a criminal. They were taken off the streets and were given no reason for their arrest. And despite his pledge to eliminate hearsay evidence, Barack Obama has authorized still to basically avoid due process and constitutional standards in these new prisons that he wants to set up. In fact, he still backs up the wiretapping that he said that he didn't like. Obama's not stopped warranties on the warrantless wiretapping. He's gone. His criticisms of the previous administration pale in significance to his latest proposal, and that is prosecuting a thought crime. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but get this. During a speech, now this is something that, okay, I need to know if this guy's going to keep yelling tonight because he's throwing me off. And if he doesn't stop, I want him out of here. Please. Ushers, he's yelling, he's throwing me off, and I don't like it. During a speech delivered at the National Archives, Obama proposed an unconstitutional law allowing preventive detention. This allows indefinite imprisonment of those deemed generally dangerous by the government for a myriad of nebulous reasons. This means you could be detained indefinitely not for past violations of the law or convictions, but for crimes that they, pre-crime enforcement officials, think you are capable or possibly could commit based on their criteria. This is a dangerous thought crime proposal. He wants to put people in prison even without a criminal background. There will be no trial for no crime that exists to be charged. There is only the nebulous threat of future acts to justify depriving people of their liberty potentially indefinitely. Now, how will they be able to figure out that you're a potential terrorist without a record of criminal acts? This is occult justice, back where I was talking about politics of the paranormal. How are they going to figure this out? Are they going to whip out a Ouija board and figure out who the criminals are? Is that how it's going to be done? A crystal ball? Is it going to be like in Philip K. Dick's book where they actually had something called precogs where they actually used remote viewing? Come on. How are they going to do this? When a president can yank people off the streets merely because he alleges that they are dangerous, throw them in jail and hold them indefinitely without charge, we can literally become a country of the damned. Imagine the fear of being jailed for something you have said, printed or intimated. Your sin is your inability to support a dictatorship run amok. If you decide to protest, you go to jail. Remember I talked about the dirty war in Argentina? Here we are, people. People just looked the wrong way at a government official, and he wound up being fed to the sharks. This is the mob, is what it is. Obama stood in front of the Constitution of the United States and proposed an unconstitutional act. I think this is a big Orwellian nightmare. Indefinite detention with no trial is unconstitutional and morally repugnant. And I'm beginning to think that this is the reason why Obama doesn't want to prosecute members of the previous administration for unconstitutional acts, because he wants to do a bit of constitutional gerrymandering himself, because he is a constitutional professor. This demonstrates that even a man that has had so much potential can give to the insanity of those who absolutely have no moral compass, in my opinion. Obama expressed that his thoughts about preventative detention were not aimed at terrorism suspects now held at Guantanamo, but rather for those captured in the future in settings other than a legitimate battlefield like Afghanistan. You know what that means? That means captured here in the United States. Think about it. It's not going to be on the battlefield where these guys are going to go to jail. It's going to be right here in the United States. It was the homeland, the new battlefield. And that's what frightens me. You know, I had a guy tell me something today which I thought was really interesting. I may pursue this, I may not. But think about this, people. What is it that General Motors is famous for making besides cars? Very good. Tanks. So if the government wants to privatize the company to make more implements of war, then we all know what's coming. Think about it. We now own 70% of GM. The government does. What better way to privatize a company to force to make your tanks and give them money to say, okay, we're going to give you this opportunity. You start making you start making implements of war to put on tanks, and you make tanks work. Go ahead.
Well, GM's also known for making the electric car in the 1990s, and you saw how that turned out.
Right, exactly. You saw how that turned out,
exactly. They destroyed those. They pulled them all out of California and destroyed them.
Right.
At the gas-powered vehicles, they let pollute this whole fucking country. So.
Well, all I got to say is that I at first wondered why this GM thing happened, and now I can tell you why. Because they're going to privatize this, and they're going to turn it into a real, they're going to turn it into a business for war. And they're preparing for the next big one. Okay? That's how I see it. And so, they're implying that the homeland is where this next battle is going to be fought, where these criminals are going to go. Thought crime is incarceration, in some cases death. These are dystopic visions that have been written about in Orwell's 1984 and Philip K. Dick's Minority Report. However, there is even a darker angle, and probably it will be missed by progressive thinkers in the 21st century, and that is something behind the 15th century, and that is Malus Maleficarum. It means the witch's hammer. It was actually a book that was written by the church that told people that witches and vampires really existed and that vampires and witches needed to be killed. Most of these vampires and witches were women, and they were put to death because they were told that they consorted with the devil all the time. So this is what we're at now. We've gone from the Crusades of Bush to the witch hunts of Barack Obama. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And you'd be watching. These things are happening. I mean, somebody was talking to me today about Michael Savage being banned in England, being told that he can't speak in England. Well, you know what? That's England. Let's take a look at what's going to happen in the United States when people start talking shit. They're already talking about eliminating the Internet. I'm going to get that in just a little bit. This is where they're getting really serious about stuff like this. What Obama is really pitching here is that he won't be the only one making the decision to rip habeas corpus and other civil liberties to shreds. He wants collusion from other people who can all jointly agree to cut habeas corpus and civil liberties. He calls that an agreed-upon legal and legitimate framework as a cover, but it is not legal and far from legitimate. The so-called inherited mess is becoming more of a cataclysmic disaster where I want to ask, where are the checks and balances at? Where is the Supreme Court? Where is the Congress on this? I'll tell you where they are. They're doing it. They're participating. Because Democrats now control Congress. Progressives have now expressed that the Democratic Congress would keep Obama honest, demanding that he eradicate the corrupt Bush policies, which he hasn't done. And so now fear has crept in as Dick Cheney snarls about safety and asks to duel with Obama verbally. And so what happens? Obama says, okay, we're going to have preventative detainment. He just basically mirrors policies that were proposed in 2004 that were voted down. Now, why is he doing this, and why doesn't that scare people? Are we still caught in that Obama Messiah attitude where we're all thinking that he's going to, you know, people say, well, give him some time. Okay, we gave him time to change things, especially the old things. He hasn't done it yet. And now he's implementing new things that are worse than the previous administration about equal rights, about war, and all those other things, too. The idea that if we take these guys and we prosecute making the country unsafe is absurd. The only way I'll make it unsafe is some fuckhead who thinks that this is some sort of a partisan attack on the person that they love, who helped them through the last 8 years, is so fucking stupid. American prisons seem to have been able to hold the perpetrators for the first World Trade Center bombing in 1983 without a problem. So it doesn't matter if we're going to put these guys in real prisons. We hear about this recidivism rate and all this other stuff. It's just scare tactic shit. Why do we have to allow Dick Cheney, a madman and war criminal from a dead administration, bully us with fear-mongering? I say again, Dick Cheney should be in jail. The plot for the jailer is against you, not them. Does anyone see how this is an American nightmare and how terrorists in their suits continue to walk free and you can wind up a suspect with these new policies of Obama? Can you see this by applause? Can anyone see this? I'm hoping you do see it because that's what's going on. And I'm having people coming to me and saying, you know, why didn't we listen to you before? And I said, well, you know, You got to do what you got to do, right? You don't want to vote for, you don't vote for four more years of Bush, right? There wasn't four more years of Bush. There was an alternative, and that alternative was is going after the criminals. Well, the terrorists moving into these regular jails that Obama wants to think, where are we going to put them when they overflow? And these other people are going to pull off the streets. They're going to put them in detainment camps, right? Those FEMA camps that they bought and purchased? Yeah, they're ready for people. They're ready for people to just step out of line, and they'll take you away. Go ahead.
You know, go back to Frost Nixon. Recently, I watched Frost Nixon for the first time, and now as you talk, it occurs to me that Obama is, in some respects, no better than Gerald Ford. It seems like they put him in there just to pardon everybody, in this case, by continuing their policies and dressing them up with new rhetoric.
History repeats itself yet once again. Sarah, thank you for that. Give her a hand. It's true. And speaking of history repeating itself, if we have detainment camps, it's just going to be like sending the Japanese to camps like we did in World War II. And you know what's sad about that? As many of those Japanese people that ended up in those detainment camps were fighting side by side at Pearl Harbor. They were fighting against the Japanese at Pearl Harbor. Many of those guys were sent to those concentration camps. So it doesn't matter how good of a veteran you are, how good of a war person you are, the witch hunt will get you no matter what. In fact, you'll go, but I didn't do anything. Well, tough shit. You're in the paddy wagon, baby. You have to prove that you haven't done anything or you're not intending to do anything. If the United States begins detaining people on the basis of perceived intent, it inevitably ends up detaining innocent people. Now, granted, some people have made threats. Some people follow through on those threats, but that's very little. And there's no evidence or even thin evidence to support imprisonment and detainees that they receive if they receive interrogation techniques or enhanced interrogation techniques that they're going to give up anything. In fact, it's going to cause more resentment. What we're going to be doing is if we jail people on the basis of intent, we're going to start creating terrorists in this country. Because they're going to resent the system and they're going to become our own monsters. And when we release them to the people, they're going to do things. I give you Timothy McVeigh. We're going to be creating more demons and monsters to contend with in the future if this continues. They call this actionable intelligence. We have actionable intelligence. We ought to do this because we know that they're going to commit this crime. Well, really? Do they have a record? No. But see, this was proposed in 2004 by some right-wing group, and then Obama is espousing it. He's proposing this measure, an unconstitutional measure in front of the Constitution. That, to me, is treason as well. That's like me standing in front of a Bible, whipping out my dick and peeing on it and saying, fuck God at a church. It's the same thing. And this is what he's done. Obama will not always be president. And once these policies are enacted, I fear for the next president to basically use them. Right? When Bush started his policies, did we think Obama was going to still use them? No. But is he? Yes, he is. And if Obama puts in this policy, do you think Obama's going to be the only president who uses it? No. Others are going to use it, too. It's a vicious cycle, and it continues. Go ahead.
If this was a sci-fi movie, Obama, on his first week of office, gets pulled into a small room at the Pentagon, and there's a film playing.
Sir, now that you're the president, we have to let you know that there is a group of massive trolls underground in the United States. That if you don't follow these actions, you will be attacked immediately, and you'll be blamed for it. And then,
that's what happens. They get the film.
Right.
Might not be exactly like that, but they get the film.
Oh, of course. You're right. They do. They get it. And that's why I think Obama's doing what he's doing, because he saw the film. Go ahead.
Without disapproving very much, the Economist said, no, there's not going to be any major change of policy when Obama's elected.
Thank you. This is from the New York Times. President's detention plan tests American legal tradition. Of course it does. It's unconstitutional. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Go ahead.
Well, first off, the opening scene in that movie is the Kennedy assassination. That's the first thing he sees.
Yeah.
Okay. But I do want to point out that, you know, the biggest disappointment, I think, for most Obama supporters, and it didn't surprise me at all, is the fact that, I mean, there has been virtually zero backing down from the horrible things that the Bush presidency have brought upon this country.
Oh, I know.
As you have pointed out. I mean, he gave lip service to closing Gitmo. And that was, you know, but that's basically it. I mean, none of the unconstitutional things that, you know, the shredding of the Constitution that happened under Bush. He hasn't spoken up to rescind any of that stuff. And in fact, if you remember, he voted, I can't quite remember, but there was a big vote shortly before the election of the millet, habeas corpus. Rescinding.
Right.
And he voted against doing that.
Right. You know, and now he's turning on everything, right?
Exactly.
I think, isn't it amazing? I mean, you know, Obama's the first president to propose harsh measures against thought crime, which I find very, we're talking about science fiction stories. How about Minority Report by Philip J. Dick? How about it? Prosecuting crimes before they happen. That's the whole story behind that. You got to read it sometime. It's very creepy. And if you haven't seen the movie, watch it. It's a good film. Go ahead.
After there is a precedent, the Espionage Act of 1970, which you probably know about. It didn't last very long, and it's still thought of as notorious.
Yeah, sure. Minority Report. That's exactly what we're living in now. Precogs. We ask that past crimes be tried in a court of law. They're called cold cases. We plead to the new president that we will not stand for war crimes from the past. He tells us that we must move on and look to the future. However, no one ever thought that it would mean looking through some crystal ball at speculative crime or crime that they thought might happen based on some flimsy premise. The American cold cases that I had brought up earlier should have taught us something, and that is that should have taught us something about settling for the path of the least resistance. This is where we have landed. We have landed in a war zone that will never end. Perpetual war, something that Orwell warned about, something that we're in the middle of. When we all agree that there is a war on terror based on an American cold case and it has been agreed upon after an investigation into a crime that was botched and covered up with a minimal budget and indefinite detention and government assigning guilt, it just becomes status quo. The war is no longer crisis. It's status quo. The war on terror will continue because you can't stop it. And they don't have bombs. They don't have tanks. They don't have anything. They just sneak around a little bit. So they're like hiding. It's like we're just fighting this invisible enemy, and it's never going to end because it'll always be there. Go ahead.
Bottom line from all you said, they want to, instead of prosecuting real crimes that we know happened and we know who the perpetrators are,
mm-hmm.
they would rather prosecute imaginary crimes by people who don't realize they're going to commit them.
Speaking of imaginary crimes, how many people heard that story about that attack on that synagogue in New York? Perpetrated by the FBI. It was fake. It was a fake story. It didn't have any merit. And speaking of fake stories, they were actually talking tonight, and it was a big scare story if you get a chance to see it. Hurricanes forming in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know if you saw this. Tropical depressions are forming in the Gulf of Mexico instead of Africa, which means it's weird and peculiar. And it made it sound dangerous, but in reality, if they're forming right on the Gulf, they'll only be Category 1 hurricanes. Not a big deal. Thank God they're forming in the Gulf and not forming in, you know, Africa, for Christ's sake. I know. It's just crazy. It's a stupid story. I was laughing the whole time. I mean, I studied meteorology, and that's a stupid story. But see, when we're in the status quo of war, we are already at martial law. We're already under martial law. People say, avoid the martial law. We're already under martial law because we're already fearful of what might happen, and we're willing to just get down on our knees and get kicked in the face by a jackboot just so it will help us against the fight, for the fight of terror, against terror. And it's still with us. Barack Obama is part of the war status quo, and within the parameters of this convoluted war is designing a more obvious Orwellian version of the perpetual war, or the long war, if you prefer, for the public. The nonpartisan alarm is that we're raised to many of the cold cases and crimes of the past administrations was precisely out of concern for what is coming to pass. Not only were they contrary to the system of government checks and balances and civil liberties and freedoms that the American system was based on, they were also the beachhead for a radically different status quo, a war on terror. If it can be won, this war on terror must be fought by people who are treated like criminals. That's what they want to do. They want to treat you like a criminal so you can get mad enough to fight the war on terror. The masterminds of the perpetual war have to be bigger monsters against the little monsters who sometimes strike without warning. We are about to breed victims who resent the treatment of their own governments. That's what's happening now. It is with this new status quo that policies are being assessed, and so the question of whether or not indefinite detention with no charges is a standard or radical idea must be put into the context of this endless war. If you accept the war on terror, then it's pretty standard, and the U.S. will emulate China more and more. If you don't accept the war on terror, then this proposal is even more chilling because much of the reactionary dialogue and actions against the new standard could be seen as a threat to the perpetual war. You're screwed. You get it no matter what you do. They're making the system so that you can't fight anymore, but you have to accept it. Obama now supports the military commissions that claims, when he claims that they're going to be reformed, he's basically celebrated the military-industrial complex going exactly against what Eisenhower told us not to do. By creating this type of thing, we are basically putting ourselves in the midst of martial law. And now Obama wants to control the internet. Everybody says good luck with that, but it can be done. After all, the military created it, they can take it away. And if we decide we can find a way to bring it up again, then we can. And then you will be rebels, and you'll be a threat to national security, and you'll go to detainment camps, and you'll be surfing Google by yourself in a camp all alone. Go ahead.
They can eliminate it, but they can't control it without turning it into something else.
Well, they might do that. The Office of the National Cybersecurity Advisor is being proposed to an arm of the executive branch that would have vast power to monitor and control internet traffic to protect against threats to critical cyber infrastructures during a time of perceived real or international crises. They can shut it down if they feel that something's getting out that they don't want you to know about. Black out the information, they can tell you whatever. Contrary to his public pronouncements about taking the moral high ground, restoring due process, ending torture, and that no one is above the law, it also appears that Obama supports the denial of habeas corpus. His measures of indefinite detention of prisoners without cause is unconstitutional. Homeland Security is now defining terrorists as those who believe in the Constitution, the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments. Returning veterans from foreign wars are being targeted now for a denial of their Second Amendment rights. Our veterans are being placed on terror watch lists. Yes, Second Amendment rights. Veterans cannot own, they have a hard time obtaining guns now. They're making it hard for them to obtain guns. What was the point of fighting? That's exactly right. Our veterans are being placed on terror watch lists because they come back from the Gulf and they're saying, hey guys, this isn't what we should be doing. As we remember those who died in service on Memorial Day, as we remember, remember that this is what's happening to them now. Denial of benefits, denial of Second Amendment rights, denial of a lot of things because they are now a risk to the United States government. Go ahead.
Can't we bring the French over here and let them tell us perpetual war is a really bad idea? And while they're at it, maybe we could borrow their health care system.
There you go. It's a standard policy in totalitarian society in which those in power decide who has what rights according to their own whim. In a democracy, preventative detention would not only be a radical idea, but a monstrous idea. The fact that a president made a verbal attack on the Constitution at the National Archives and no one handcuffed him as a traitor demonstrates the United States is no longer a democracy in any substantial sense, in my opinion. Many apologists for Obama will say that he is just taking steps to keep America safe. I say it is not excusable to stand in front of the Constitution and declare an unconstitutional act in front of it. When Obama took the oath of office, he didn't say that he was going to keep Americans safe. He solemnly swore that he would preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he fucked up that too. Isn't all the talk that we're talking about now a threat to the Constitution? Is it actionable under the laws we have to go after these people for trying to change it or doing it without due process? From phony elections, the attack on America, to the $700 billion thievery that we witnessed prior to the election, the criminal Bush administration cultivated climate of fear to the extent that a good portion of the U.S. population can't get it out of their minds, They have been conditioned, much like Pavlov's dogs, to react by cowering and turning a blind eye to horrific abuse practices, illegal detentions, and other crimes committed in our names. Now no one will question the same operation under Obama for fear of reprisal. A lot of people don't like it when I point this out, because why would you do that to poor Obama? Well, I'm just basically keeping the fucking empire honest. I guess I'm the only one, unless other people are going to do it too, by writing editorial pages and sending stuff out and actually getting behind shit like this. I'm not part of the Hatriot movement. I'm a part of something that is the Patriot movement. This isn't Hatriot games, people. This is your reality. And what's really sad is all the intellectual ping-ponging that I can do is not going to do nothing. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just informing you. Action comes from you and whoever is listening to me on the internet tonight. I know some people in this audience have already got ideas of what they're going to do. They've discussed it with me, and some of them are pretty damn good. And I'm not talking about getting a gun and shooting a congressman. I'm talking about using the laws against the laws, like they do with the sovereign states. They're using the Constitution against the corporate assholes that basically fucked the Constitution in 1817. And I think it's fucking wonderful. That's our government system in action. Go ahead.
Well, the previous administration treated the Constitution as if it was a college term paper and read the Cliff Notes version of it in the State of the Union address, and every time the word God appears in the Constitution, he takes a yellow highlighter and use that in his speeches. So maybe this administration will treat it a little more, I don't know, seriously then.
Well, by cutting it? No, they put yellow highlighter on God in the previous. Now they're cutting things out in this one, you see. Or they're adding things to it that sound a little bit like, well, you know, you need to be protected. It's in the public's own good. It's for their own good to be detained without habeas corpus. As I said, what's more frustrating is all these intellectual arguments is not going to wake anybody up unless you spread the word and talk about it. A lot of people come to this lounge, they want to get drunk, and they want to have a good time, and I encourage it. I think you should all drink and have pizza. That's what you're here for. You should be tipping your waitress. You should be doing all those things. But you know what? I need you to listen to. People who are listening online tonight, they are getting behind the Ground Zero lounges that are online at ZeroPointRadio.com. And the reason why is because they hear something on our show that they don't get anywhere else. And that is real people talking about real issues. Go ahead.
Well, I think one thing to think about the Constitution is it was signed by colonies agreeing that these would be the principles that we will all united be together. So if the federal government, which the colonies agreed to create, is no longer abiding by those principles. And it doesn't have to be all of them. It just, you could have, you know, several. I think localities, I'm not sure about, let's say, Oregon that's been added much later after the Constitution, but I believe we have the right to say, we didn't agree to that, and we're going to interpret it this way and start, you know, if a mutation happens and it's bad, you don't just keep with it. You say, well, let's go back and try again.
And people are. They're saying, we don't want a part of it. That's what this whole sovereign states rights is. It's almost like they're basically seceding. This isn't even making the mainstream news, people. You're hearing it here at Ground Zero Lounge several times over, but it's going on. Even Oregon has their sovereignty issues that they're dealing with. Northern and Southern California are ready to separate and secede from each other. It's kind of an interesting thing that we're seeing history happening like this. The United States government continues to commit crimes with no substantive change having occurred with a change of administration and party in charge. These crimes are becoming blood cemented as permanent policy and practice. When will America wake up and set aside their adoration for superstar presidents and start taking action against criminals? Are you guys for taking these people out and basically prosecuting them by applause? I think so. Okay, this is a small bar in Portland, Oregon is for this. How many other bars in the entire country are for this? How many people listening on the internet are for this? Barack Obama, listen to us. We want those fuckers tried and we want them to go to jail. Please. And we have awakened and we know what's going on. We know the terrorist attacks kill people to make a political statement. They do not take away our freedoms. Policies made by officials that are unconstitutional prolong the effects of terrorism, creating unnecessary fear and paranoia, and take away our civil liberties. Whom should we fear most? The terrorists that would like to take away our freedoms but can't, or those in our own political positions that are taking our freedoms away? I think I fear those who I voted for. If I voted, which I didn't give them a chance. Everybody else thought I was bad for not. As I report this, Barack Obama has practically unprecedented amount of collective trust with the American people. However, these policies will cause a division even amongst his supporters, and it already has. The biggest cold case of all involves the constant criminal undermining of the Constitution of the United States. Another criminal cold case is the crime of constantly wearing away at your cognitive liberty. Cognitive dissonance is becoming the norm for the consensus reality. No matter how unpopular my words are tonight, and how, no matter how unpopular they are on the internet to all of you listening tonight, you will see that the cycle of mental breakdown of the people will be denial, then bargaining, then anger, depression, and then cynical acceptance. And it's always the way it is. As Orwell put it, when the clock strikes 13, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. This is the dystopic nightmare that America finds itself in today, and each day brings new assaults on freedom and sanity. The framework for total control of the citizenry, the economy, and the media is being built upon in a relentless aggrandizement of governmental power and perpetual war. The despotic empire was built on little crimes that grew into bigger crimes that led to war crimes in Vietnam, perpetual war with the war on terror, and the eventual police state New World Order. Before we prognosticate crimes of the future, perhaps we should go back and prosecute crimes of the past. It just might wipe out Congress, the Supreme Court, and the executive arm. This would most definitely keep the empire honest at a time where cover-ups and lying is the status quo. I'm Clyde Lewis. This is the Ground Zero Lounge. Good night, everybody. Thank you. ZeroPointRadio.com. Good night.